and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Maynard and Edgar putting on a show.
Outstanding.
Wow.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
It is all over. Just like that.
Pedro Fernandez.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
No doubt about that, damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of combat sports, boxing, both in MMA. Of course, we come to you live from the City by the Bay, Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time. This, of course, is the Sunday edition, hour number two of the Sunday edition, coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and we've got a brand new SiriusXM satellite radio, channel 217. So we're rocking and rolling, coming to you live from the Sports Byline studios in this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We will check in with the retired flyweight and 135-pound champion of the UFC, the only guy I thought that had the intestinal fortitude, a.k.a. balls, to stand up to Dana White, a.k.a. El Pimpo. I'm talking about Henry Cejudo. We'll hear from Henry, and then we'll bring in the man that's like the heavyweight champion of Cutman, be it both in boxing and MMA, Jacob Stitch Duran. Let me tell you about this guy. Back in the Golden Glove days, like in the late 70s and early 80s, there was this guy from Santa Rosa, California. I think it was from Santa Rosa, up that way. Anyway, he was a cut man. He was trying to get into the business as a cut man. And of course, Sonny Marson, the local cut man, didn't want to teach him any of the tricks, so he had to learn on his own. He ended up going to Vegas and becoming a superstar. But the bottom line is, he was together. I think we worked a couple of corners, or he worked my corner a couple of times when I was in the amateur. So we go back so far, and now he's like the king, both of boxing and the UFC. He was, as far as the MMA world was concerned, he was their king cut man, of course, until Dana White stepped in. Dana White, man, just not my favorite guy. Straight up, I wouldn't vote for him for president if he was the only guy on the ballot. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Well, check out both the boxing and the MMA world after the break.
Would it bother you much if I worked a little longer?
Just before the door closes when you leave.
Thank you.
If there's magic in boxing, it's the magic of fighting battles beyond endurance, beyond cracked ribs, ruptured kidneys, and detached retinas. It's the magic of risking everything for a dream that nobody sees but you.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Brings back memories of Newman's Gym. 6:30, quarter to 7, all of us will be clearing out of there each weekday night, and of course on Saturdays as well. Sometimes Sundays. We train sometimes 7 days a week. I kid you not. But of course, it was in the blood. We were disciplined. That's what sort of, I wish to God that a lot of people, several more people would have had either military training or some type of boxing training, because it sort of trained you for the pandemic. I mean, the no sex thing, that was part of the boxing thing. The not eating everything you want thing, that was part of the boxing thing. The, you know, not going everywhere late at night, that was part of the boxing thing. So all these curfews and that kind of stuff that are thrown in by the pandemic, this is like old hat to boxers, no doubt about that. Anyway, last night, UFC Rock and Roll in a middleweight fight, 185 pounds was the main event, of course, coming to you from Las Vegas. They call it the Apex Center down there. Of course, UFC rocking and rolling. 49-46 was the scores across the board, meaning four rounds of one. Of course, they fight five-minute rounds in the UFC. A guy by the name of Marvin Vettori is now 16-5. He beat Jake Hermanson. Jack Hermanson was the favorite going in there, but Hermanson lost. Jamal Hill knocked out Ovin St. Preux. Ovin St. Preux, a former light heavyweight title challenger. I think he went the distance with John Jones. And in a third fight, Gabriel Benitez beat Justin James. Outside of that, there were no, don't get mad at me for saying this, people get mad at the feminists out there, the feminazis. There were no chicks on the card. I mean, you've got to have women on MMA cards to make it a little bit more exciting. And why do I say that? Because they fight their ass off every single time. There's just no doubt about it. And see, they're not handicapped like women boxers are, women professional boxers are, with these big old gloves on. Because, you know, athletic commissions, they're scared to let women go at it. They are. And sanctioning bodies, I remember when I brought up the fact that I thought that women should fight with like 4 or 6 ounce gloves at a sanctioning organization meeting a couple of years ago. I mean, they looked at me like I was like beyond queer. Like, oh yeah, do you mind? Are you insane? How much weed have you smoked today? I mean, they thought I was nuts. But I mean, when you look at women's boxing, it's like, what can I say? If I want to cure somebody from a crack addiction or put them to sleep or something like that, I just put Clarissa Shields on TV. That's all. Of course, she's considered the best pound-for-pound women's boxer today in 2020. But I'm telling you, if I need to put a crack addict to sleep, all I have to do is put Clarissa Shields on TV, and she does it. Anyway, no women fighting in this card. And of course, that's a bit of a bummer. And of course, when the women rock it up at UFC, they just rock it up. Now, next week, I talked about this earlier, Miguel Figueroa, the reigning flyweight champion, with an asterisk next. And we'll hear from the real flyweight champion in just a minute, or actually the retired flyweight champion, according to him. But the bottom line is, I know why he retired. It wasn't just for the fact that he got tired of it. Well, anyway, we'll hear from Henry Cejudo in a couple of minutes. But Dominic Figueroa, the heir apparent now, he's the 125-pound champion. He fought 2 weeks ago and won. He's taking a guy named Brandon Moreno next week. Of course, this is the UFC bubble. Tony Ferguson, the co-feature. Poor Tony. I never want to see Tony ever fight again. If you've seen a guy, ever saw a guy with a destroyed knee, and they don't go after it, like Khabib said, he has a bad knee, right? Yeah, Khabib would destroy his knee. There's no doubt about it. But Tony Ferguson's take on Charles Oliveira, and a co-feature, Renato Marcano's going to take on Rafael Fayez. Outside of that, am I looking down the rest of the card? Junior Dos Santos, a former world heavyweight champion, taking on Cyril Gane. And wait, any women? Yeah, one woman strawweight bout, which looks like Mackenzie Dawn is going to hook it up with Verna Jendruba. I think I've got that right. But the bottom line is UFC's rocking and rolling in fights, but the fights really aren't great fights per se, because I say they don't have the talent. Of course, Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor are going to go to UFC 257. That's going to be January 23rd. I guess the UFC will get a good pay-per-view buy off of that. And will Conor McGregor use that as his springboard to dive off for a fight with Manny Pacquiao? Because right now, Manny Pacquiao's like, he's in a hole. And why do I say he's in a hole? Because he's too small to fight Errol Spence. He ain't got it at 41 years old to be hooking it up with Errol Spence, okay? And Errol Spence has got a date with Terrence Crawford anyway. That looks like that's going to happen, no doubt about that. But he shouldn't be hanging out with a guy like Errol Spence, because he's too small, he's too old, and he's too small. Anyway, if he was younger, maybe I'd give him a chance with the speed that he's got. Talk about Manny Pacquiao, but he's still sort of fast, but he's 41 years old. So he's taking a step back, and I think that, you know, Mr. Spence, although he got thrown out of that car at 115 miles per hour, nobody asked him about the gun. I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, he got thrown out of that car at 115 miles per hour. He looked very good last night. I mean, he got hurt a couple times, and of course, Danny didn't jump on him. Danny Garcia is like, he's like an impotent shark. You know, when a shark smells blood in the water, Danny smells blood in the water. He goes, what's that? He just doesn't know what blood smells like. I keep kicking him in the teeth, and he's a Puerto Rican, my Barica brother, but the bottom line is, God, you know, Danny, you gotta do something. You gotta put some zeal into this. He put nothing into it. Last night he could score with a couple single shots. He isn't like Roberto Duran. He doesn't time people and then hit people with clean shots. The clean shots he hit, Spence with last night, were really meaningless. I mean, in the last 10 seconds of the fight, he came alive and he turned it into a little bit of a war, and that made the thing sort of entertaining. But outside of that, it was like a 12 round ho-hum type of thing with Errol Spence painting Danny Garcia like he was a Puerto Rican brown picket fence. I mean, that's just the way it went down. At the end of the day, Spence is the winner. Of course, still undefeated, going to hook it up with Crawford. Who wins? Crawford versus Spence? Interesting. No doubt about that. But size? Size matters. Remember, in pornography and combat sports, and Earl Spence is naturally a much bigger man physically than Terence Crawford. Now, how can you say that? And they're both fighting at welterweight. Why do I say that? Is that, you know, Crawford moved up from 135 to 140 pounds to 147 pounds. So he was a lighter weight fighter, a lightweight moving up to 147, much like Roberto Duran moving up from 135 to 147. It's a big jump. It's a big jump. And, of course, I give Crawford props for doing it. I don't think he'd go to 154. He's not that great like Duran. And speaking of Duran, Leonard, Hearns, Benitez, this and that. I got kicked last night on a text by my buddy Hector. He kicked me again over the fact. He said, man, stop reaching back. Stop reaching. Because I was comparing. I was comparing, you know, that older era. I'm talking about Leonard and Hearns. I mean, you know, Leonard and Hearns, Crawford and Spence, Leonard and Hearns, it just doesn't, they don't equate. But they basically, this is the Leonard Hearns of 2020 or 2021. And it's going to go down probably in March or April of 2021. It'll be on pay-per-view. It'll be a good fight. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, having watched the greats, and of course I heard all these guys, I heard guys from Newman's Gym, old guys, like guys who were like 40, 50 years older than me, so they'd be like 190 now. But it's saying, you know, guys like Benny Leonard would have never hit Roberto Duran, this and then I sort of laughed at that, you know. And now I say that, you know, nobody would have beat Roberto Duran at lightweight or junior welterweight, maybe in history. I mean, in history. And of course, he beat the greatest welterweight of all time in Ray Charles Leonard. He did beat Ray Leonard in that first fight. And that was the first time they ever fought even Steven. Of course, the second fight, Duran was out of shape. He thought he was going to get knocked out. He said, you know what? I got to get out of here. I'm not going to get drilled. Let him come back. We'll do a third fight. Of course, that was 1980, and Ray waited until 1989 or 1990, I think, to have the third fight. Of course, Ray waited until, like, Duran was Social Security age, and at that point in time, Roberto and Ray were not competitive. But Sugar Ray Leonard, the greatest welterweight, in my mind, greater than Sugar Ray Robinson in welterweight. Even though Robinson went to 47-0, I mean, I just think that Ray beating Tommy, he shouldn't have beat Tommy. Tommy should have knocked Ray into the first row. That's what Tommy's forte was. Power punching, the ability to go out there and knock people out, destroy people, okay? This is what he did. But what did Emmanuel Stewart do? He brought him in way underweight, 145.3 pounds. That's like a pound and a half under. He was a 6'2" welterweight. I think that hurt him a little bit. And then they sent him out there to box. They sent him out there to box Sugar Ray Leonard. This I don't get. Yeah, you had the height and the size, but Ray's the better boxer. There's no doubt about that. Ray was the better boxer. And Ray weighed in, you know, weighed in, and then he threw that body shot in the sixth round, cracked his rib, and from that point forward, it was Sugar Ray Leonard's fight. Of course, Davy Pearl, the retired referee, the bellboy, one of the twin bellboys from the East Coast, of course, made it big in Las Vegas as a bellboy, and then as a boxing manager, and he was an insurance agent. He was just a great guy. But Davy Pearl, the referee, when he stopped that fight, Tommy Hearns wasn't bitching. He didn't say a word. No doubt about that. And neither did Emmanuel Stewart. And of course, Emmanuel Stewart, when I, you know, we and I talked in Detroit a few times when I was back there, we spent some time together at night and we would talk boxing this and that. And then one time I said, you know, that was you made a couple of big mistakes. And I told him the first one was, you know, allowing Tommy Hearns to box Ray Leonard. I mean, that was stupid. Why did he send him out there to kill? Take that back, bring in Hearns and Light and then sending him out there to box. And he acknowledged that mistake and he said, yeah, you're probably right. It probably should have sent Tommy out there to try to finish Ray. And, you know, cause what would have been like when Ray was like trying to catch him right hands? I mean, you know, Ray had never been hit by Tommy Hearns before, but Tommy went out there and tried to box with a jab. It didn't work. And of course, Hearns, what can I say? Knocked out Roberto Duran, of course, a lightweight champion, moving up to 154 in June of 1984. And after that fight, I remember spending some time with Sugar Ray Robinson, the great Sugar Ray Robinson, the aforementioned, of course, Sugar Man, the original Sugar Man. And he told me, even though Hearns had just knocked out Duran, that Duran was a greater fighter than Hearns. And I couldn't get that until I looked at history. Moving up in weight. Moving up in weight's a bitch, folks. It can be deadly. It can be catastrophic, and I can tell you from my own experience. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. 23 minutes past hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday edition.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Now the fun begins.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. The
There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Superfly.
The dudes have envied him for so long. I'm talking about the best cut man in both boxing and mixed martial arts, the heavyweight champion himself, Mr. Jacob Stitch Duran. What's up, Stitch?
Hey, man, I've had a lot of good intros, but never Superfly. I'll take it.
Yeah, I know. Things are good. How's the family?
Yeah, we're all doing good, thank God, man. You know, we're staying COVID-free and staying healthy, and I'm putting up Christmas stuff right now, so it's a win-win.
So tell me about the bubble thing. You're one of the few guys that can get into the bubble. Do you have to get tested every week or every couple of days? What's going on with that?
Yeah, you know, originally when Top Rank had 13 shows in 6 weeks on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we would check in on Sundays, get tested, and you'd have to get into your room and be on lockdown until you got cleared the following day. And we would do the Tuesday fight, and then Wednesday we would get tested again for the Thursday fights and so on. So now they're doing them once a month, so I'll check in this Thursday. The same thing, I'll get tested. I'll go on lockdown until the next day till I get cleared, and then go to the weigh-ins, do the fights, and then come home. So it's really a good program. Top Rank, they're doing it right.
You know, my friends are bucking the trend here in California. I've got friends of mine that didn't go to college and this and that and think they're really smart. I mean, you and I, we didn't get college degrees or anything like that, but I have friends of mine that just seem to be like flaunting it, and they don't want to wear the masks, and they don't want to do this, and they don't want to do that, and they're bitching because the governor wants to shut things down for, and they don't realize that if we don't shut things down right now, the hospitals will get to the point where people will be dying outside waiting in their cars to get into the hospital. That's what they don't realize. There's a hospital capacity here. That's why we're doing this, shutting down the hospitals so we'll have beds for people that are really sick.
You know, I just don't understand this concept, man. You know, common sense goes a long ways, right? This is something that we as a whole group have, you know, there was a lady I interviewed months ago, and she says, we haven't arrested it yet. And when you're talking about arresting it, that makes so much sense, because once you got a hold of it, then you could go ahead and bring it down step by step by step. But without getting any cooperation 100%, it's no telling how long this is going to last.
Good point. Now, back to the fights at hand, of course. When you I tell people how you started in Santa Rosa and things like that, I mean, people don't know. Tell me about the background of Jacob Stitch Duran. I know him, but people don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, I came out of the military in 1974. I was stationed in Thailand and saw my first Muay Thai fights. And, you know, that whole year I literally just dedicated myself to that and moved back to Oakland and, you know, got into boxing at King's Gym, just kind of perfect my hands. And from there I moved to Fairfield and opened up a school of kickboxing, and, you know, I trained fighters, I managed them, I promoted, but I liked working cuts, and 26 years ago I made the move to Las Vegas to do what I do, and now I'm just solely a cut man.
You know, I said Fairfield, I said Santa Rosa, I meant Fairfield, but the bottom line is, so you've been to Thailand, you know anything about Thai stick?
Of course. yeah, we, you know, it was funny, man, because we used to buy the Thai sticks, okay, as long as they were, there was like 21 in a bundle. And we used to buy it from the retired chief of police in the province, and there was like $2, you know, $2.50, and, you know, so quite familiar with Thai sticks.
Okay.
To this day, I haven't smoked as good as that.
Oh, well, and I'll tell you why, because the Thai stick was dipped in opium.
No.
You can't tell me. I mean, we can go through the marijuana debate, you and I, because we've been around the block a little bit, but that stuff took you to another world.
Well, it would take you to another world, but I don't know about that because, you know, heroin was real big up there. And, well, it was big. Some of the people would take advantage of that, but that was like 90% proof, you know, but yeah, I don't know about that opium type of stuff.
You know, a friend of mine, Lenny Williams, and you know that, is a former Tower Power lead singer, of course. He told me he was in the Netherlands one time, and the guy who was with him, Bruce Conti, was a former guitar player, but they were in the Netherlands together, and Mick Jagger and Billy Preston were there, and besides Billy Preston and Mick Jagger French kissing, they were snorting heroin. and they tried to get Lenny to snort some heroin, and Lenny said he ran out of the room, and he left the room, and he left the party place, and he said to him, he said to himself, you know, later he goes, you know, I really wanted to hang around with Mick Jagger, but I didn't want to have to snort heroin to do it.
Yeah, that was, some of the GIs did that, and some of the GIs, in Thailand OD'd on that, cause like I say, it was like 90% proof, and, you know, yeah, I never got into that, bro, mm-hmm. You know, I just keep it all natural.
Okay, so what speaking of cut, man, now, you don't use, like, salt to stop cuts. What do you use the salt? What are you using there?
Well, you know, primarily, the one you get on the swab is the adrenaline chloride 1-1000. That's, by prescription only, but that's a vessel constrictor. There's other product that I use at the Gostad called Quick Aid that's 100% natural now. It's new on the market. You know, I'm the one that introduced it, and that's comes off a seaweed base, but when you put it on the cut, and it's like a 2x2 patch or 1x2 type of Gostad, you put it on the cut for like 45 seconds, and it literally just kind of dehydrates the moisture from the blood in it, and it stops it. So those are the only two that I use. You know, Avitine, which is another coagulant, and thrombin. They're available, but nobody really uses them.
Is Enswell as good as people? Some people like it, some people don't. I mean, you work in the corner with the Enswell, keeping guys' eyes down. Is that a necessary tool in every corner?
Yeah, I think so, Pedro. You know, and the thing people have to understand is when you have swelling, it's because you busted blood vessels underneath the skin, and that's you're creating literally a little pool of blood. But, you know, how many times have you cut yourself and put direct pressure on your cut and a minute later starts bleeding? Well, the same thing with an Enswell is, you know, you keep it cold, and cold direct pressure kind of helps minimize that. I was looking at I didn't see the Spence and Garcia fight, but I saw one of the things where the father just kind of brushing the Enswell over Danny Garcia's eyes, and that does nothing. You know, if you're applying makeup, that's a good technique, but if you're working on swelling, that doesn't work.
Well, Danny's father has not been the greatest corner man of all time, and he couldn't get his kid to pull the trigger. In other words, he'd land one punch, but it was like Danny's always studying. He's thinking too much. He's a cerebral fighter to an extent, and he's not a guy that's ever let his hands go. He's never let his hands go. And when you fight a bigger guy, and I think you were there that night, I fought Keith Rucker, who was 6'2", you got to go after him. Because if you don't go after him, guess what? It's going to be a long night on the end of that jab.
That's the first thing I pictured when you were talking about that was at the end of the jab. Yeah, it's tough to get in if you don't know how to get in.
Well, I remember my trainer telling me, look, we're not going to fight. We're not going to box this guy. There's not going to be no boxing this and that. He goes, if you can step on his foot and crack him, do that. I said, but just get in close and start rolling. And 12 seconds into it, I remember the Brent Venegas, the referee, I knocked him down 12 seconds in the fight. And you know what a gentleman I was in the ring. I was, you know, and I said to him, get up, MF. And, of course, you know, that didn't go too well with the referee, Brent Venegas, who pushed me to a neutral corner and said to me, I almost disqualified you, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, you know, I got away with a little couple of butts in round number three. In other words, don't hold me. You know what I'm trying to say? Don't hold me.
Yeah. You know, when you started your sentence of me being a good guy, I got a big smile on my face.
Well, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I never threw any forearms. I didn't try to hurt anybody. I didn't do any fouls or anything like that. But as far as stretching the rules to an extent, stepping on an occasional, I like to step on an occasional foot, this and that, because I had guys that when you stepped on their foot, they looked down at it, and then you cracked them. I'm not kidding you. They were inexperienced, so they would look down at their feet, bang, and you crack them.
Yeah, but, you know, that's James Toney, Bernard Hopkins, Pedro Fernandez type of techniques, you know, where, you know, that was old school, and you just don't show that anymore.
We're talking old school, the heavyweight champion of cut, man, both in boxing and mixed martial arts. So we're talking about Jacob Stitcheranz, our guest, will be with us in another 15 minutes or so here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll hear from Henry Cejudo, the retired UFC flyweight champion, coming out of the break. And I'll ask Jake a couple questions about pay money in the world of combat sports. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Baby, love the way you turn me on. You got the right stuff, baby. pondering retirement?
For a minute. I think ever since I had my surgery on my shoulder, I felt like I enjoyed my time, my freedom, a little bit too much. And really what that was, it's, you know, it gave me time and to reflect. And I told him since I was 11, I've been going hard, man. I've been training. I've had over 600 wrestling matches, and now MMA, and I'm 33 years old. I've always put myself in front, and I'm just looking forward to start that new chapter in my life. And I want to leave up top. I want to leave on my terms. I'm happy. I'm satisfied with my career. I saved the division. I won the flyweight title, the bantamweight title. I defended both. There's nothing more to prove, man. So I want to wish everybody at the bantamweight, the flyweight division, I want to wish you guys all love and success. Even though I may have said a bunch of crazy things to you guys. You know, it all came out of promotion, out of love, man. So thank each and every one of you.
No, I think everyone knows it came out of love, and your performances did so much for 125 and 135. You know, you retired from wrestling early, and you obviously started this new journey in MMA then. Do you have a new journey in mind, or is this something where you're like, I just want to do nothing?
No, absolutely. I want to get into real estate. I'm chasing my next. I'm a conqueror, man. I wanna get into business, and I wanna start doing that right. I bought some property not too long, some land not too long ago, and I wanna start just building a bunch of houses, and, you know, just moving on to this next show. I hate cutting weight, man. I'm tired of it, so I'm looking forward to getting into real estate after this.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
This is East Bay Soul. Tower of Power spinoff, of course, Tower of Power original. Westmore High School, baby. Graduate of 1968. Mr. Greg Adams, he skipped the Joliet School of Music in New York City, decided to join Tower of Power at 17, and the rest is history. But his new band, East Bay Soul, they've got two albums out. Check them out at eastbaysoul.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. You know, Stitch, we heard from Henry Cejudo there. He retired as a UFC 125-pound and 135-pound champion. And he said he was retiring because of injuries, this and that. He was retiring because he wasn't getting the money he deserved to get paid. I mean, you know, if the UFC is only giving 8 to 10% or 8 to 12%, some people say, Dana White, I heard him say, some guy said, are you giving 18% to the fighters? He says, well, if you want to say so. But with that small amount going to the fighters, why is it, how can I put it? Is it because the fighters won't have another stage to go to that they have to adhere to Uncle Dana's wishes and his commands? Because if you get on the wrong side of that guy, you're screwed.
Well, Pedro, that's an excellent question, and let me answer it this way. Yesterday, I did an interview for a documentary that they're putting together based on the underbelly of MMA. And, of course, that was one of the topics of and I brought that up where, you know, all the major sports, you know, they're dividing, you know, the profits. If it's not 50-50, it's 48-52 type of thing. And you know, in the mixed martial arts, and we look at the UFC, that's not the case. You know, so they also interviewed a guy from the union and on how important it is to, you know, get these fighters unified. And I said, you know, it's kind of tough to get them as a union because we're all independent contractors, but an association works just as well. And, you know, Leslie Smith from the Bay Area, actually, and she's a big advocate on that. So, yeah, fighters, it's time for these fighters to speak up. You know, and during the interview that I did, I mentioned that years ago, when before the UFC, or MMA, Jimmy Hoffa Jr. Met with a bunch of boxers, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, and a bunch of us, about trying to unionize boxing. But, you know, for that to happen, these guys have to step forward. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to sacrifice yourself, but, you know, come up there and what's right is right.
You know, there's a group in Europe that's like throwing out money with boxers, MTK. And Bob Yalen, the former ESPN executive, disgraced ESPN executive, of course, was trading ESPN dates for dates with porn stars. And that was proven. Of course, he was fired from ESPN, then went to work for the, one of those casinos up there, and then he got into a bad, listen what a bully this guy was, Stitch. He's playing basketball with some 17-year-old black kid, and the black kid dunks on him and makes him look bad, this and that, and he pushes the kid and calls him the N-word afterwards. So they fired him from that Connecticut, Foxwoods, Connecticut thing. He was a big boxing guy up there. But the bottom line is, that's what a tough guy he was.
Yeah, real tough. Yeah, you know, putting him, one-on-one with somebody that's not going to take that.
Yeah, well, kid put it in his face, no doubt about that. So what's on your mind? What are you doing these days besides stopping cuts?
Well, you know, I actually, it's a great question that you ask, because I'm working with a CBD company that created a cream for cuts for the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
And when they contacted me, I asked them, you know, because everybody has something in CBD, right? And I said, well, what proofs do you have? I said, well, that's what we call you. So, you know, being that I worked the bare knuckle fights and, of course, a lot of these fights, I said, well, look, go with me to the bare knuckle fights. I'll speak to Dave Feldman because, you know, the cut ratio on bare knuckle fights, 60-70%. So somebody's going to get cut. So what we do is once they, in the dressing room, they get sewn up, Jay Tinth, which is the owner of CBD Science, will take a picture of them, give them the cream, and a week later they send back the proof sources. So the product is working. It has stem cell, CBD, vitamin E, collagen, and some other items. So today we're meeting after this conversation with you on how we could get this out to the market. And I think right now we're going to start off with a promo with cutmanforhiresupplies.com. So, you know, we'll be working on that. So, yeah, I'm working on that. And like I said, I just did this interview regarding the underbelly of MMA. And you know, they brought up the point of, you know, when the UFC let me go because I spoke out about the Reebok deal. And, you know, that's another thing these fighters are getting screwed on is they're not making the money that they used to along with their fight money because of the sponsorship.
Yep. Brendan Schaub was a classic example. Wasn't he making like 80 grand on sponsorship and then the UFC wanted to give him like five?
Yeah. You know, it's quite ridiculous because let's say, Pedro, you walk into the UFC and you already have 20 MMA fights, but you only have three fights in the UFC. The maximum you got was $2,500. And I think the championship fights, the maximum they got was 30. You know, and like say you're talking about Brian, you know, a lot of these guys were making 50 to 100,000 a fight. So, you know, and the thing about it, they didn't ask the fighters, they just went ahead and did it. And even like me, because, you know, they got rid of all the sponsorship of the cut men, mm-hmm. and I was making major, I needed the UFC because they were paying garbage. The ring girls are getting paid more than what the cut men are getting paid. But I needed the UFC exposure to get my sponsors in. And when I did an interview regarding that, they let me go. So, you know, I'm back to square one. I'm doing good. I've, you know, got a lot of support. But that's what the fighters have to do is they have to stick together and unionize and say, you know, and Pedro, I've always told fighters this, you know, without you, your manager, your promoter, you know, all these people cannot get paid unless you fight. You know, you are the commodity, and they have to understand that.
You know what's funny? You bring up the CBD thing. My poor father spent the Daly City Police Department arrested him and sent him to CYA. Never been arrested in his life. Sent him to CYA for 2.5 years because they thought he had marijuana. They thought he had marijuana. I kid you not. But 2.5 years in 1952, his life was never the same. But life has changed, man. You can buy weed on every corner in San Francisco, legally and illegally.
Right. Yeah, well, why would you want to do it illegally?
No, I'm gonna tell you why you want to do it illegally, because the guys here in San Francisco, it used to be an all-black, listen, when it went legal for medical back in 96, the black guys took over in Oakland, California. They had stuff called the chronic, and they were running, they controlled the marijuana world. And then slowly, little by little, corporate America just pushed them out with these different licenses and state this and state that. So they're no longer up on board. They're doing the black market thing. So if you want to go buy an ounce in a club, you can pay $450. You want to go buy an ounce from one of the brothers, you pay about $190, maybe $250.
Got it. All right. Economics.
Economics. Bottom line is economics. All right. When it comes to the world of the UFC and MMA right now, is Bellator, are you still rocking with Bellator? Is Bellator doing cards?
Well, they are doing cards, and I'm not. You know, I started off with a group here at the Rio called FFC.
Oh, that's it. That's it. I'm sorry. I had the wrong group. Go on.
Yeah. So, you know, but right now the Rio is closed. But they're working on a budget for 2021. So, yeah, I'll continue doing that. But, you know, working the bubble, I've done 24 shows already since June. So, you know, it's nice to be in the mix.
The Hotel Rio's, was Penn and Teller still hanging out there?
Well, they're supposed to, you know, when they open up, they're supposed to. So, yeah, so we'll see what happens.
You know, I called Lenny Albert, the former former Golden Glove, fellow Golden Glove champion here in San Francisco. I called his house one day, and that guy Penn answered the phone.
No, yeah, I remember Lenny.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. So anyway, I go, who is he? I go, come on. And it was him. He was hanging out with Lenny over there. I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they might have been smoking some weed back in the days. But the bottom line is, Penn and Teller were hanging out with Lenny Albert out of his house. That was a little bit crazy. Anyway, when we get a vaccine and things get rocking and rolling again, I want to be optimistic about this, but I think everything can sort of get back to normal maybe in the latter stages of 2021. But up until then, what do you have on the calendar? I mean, this fight thing with this new series, that's not going to go for a while. Or have they announced a comeback date?
Yeah, well, you know, with Top Rank, they're going to be doing monthly shows, I guess, till at least March, you know. So I'm good with that. But I'm also, I told you a while back, I wrote a couple books called From the Fields to the Garden. Growing up as a farm worker, those were the fields, and my goal was to make it to Madison Square Garden. Well, we started filming right before the COVID, and we went to New York and when Triple G fought. And then this COVID kicked in, so that stopped. But now we're going to start kicking in again and start doing interviews. And, we got Andre Ward and Triple G and Mike Tyson and Anderson Silva and Cain Velasquez, and we're working with Michael B. Jordan. So, you know, that's we're going to start doing that, even though that COVID thing, we'll do it individually, just get that out of the way. But, yeah, I'm staying busy, Pedro. You know, thank God. And, you know, with the CBD program and even with my old sponsor, One More Round, we're back together. And we started making apparel, and then this COVID kicked in. So, you know, that kind of, you know, they made them a non-essential company. So that's on hiatus. But I'm looking forward to getting rid of 2020 and going into 2021.
So what's the website for Jacob Stitcheran? You got one happening?
Well, no, I don't. All my products, my Stitch Premium products, are available at cutmanforhiresupplies.com. And, you know, I always tell coaches and cutmen, if you want the best, go to cutmanforhiresupplies.com, because Juan Ramirez carries everything that cutmen and trainers need to take care of that fighter.
Well, you know, we're approaching the holidays, Happy Hanukkah, I mean Kwanzaa, Christmas, the whole nine yards. I wish you the merriest of Christmas, bro, and your family. You guys have always been class. Your wife is a wonderful lady. You absolutely hit the lottery when you married her. There was no doubt about it. So you got lucky there once, and then, of course, you make it as a pro. Bottom line is you're a winner, bro, and I really appreciate knowing you.
No, thank you very much, Pedro. I've known you for, God, it's been 30-something years, you know, and I think you probably have the longest combat sports show in the nation.
Doesn't matter, man. You're telling people how old I am. I keep telling these people I started this show when I was 7 years old. I'm only 44. Give me a break.
I'll pick you up on that.
Love you, Stitch. Jacob Stitcheran on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Take care. Say hello to the wife.
Love you too, man. All the best. Merry Christmas.
You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA, the Sunday edition, coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and the brand new SiriusXM satellite radio, channel 217. This is Ring Talk.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The horns of the mighty Tower of Power. Check them out. They've got a couple of new drops going on. That's what Cuddy calls them. Not do albums, not 2Ds. They're drops. So check them out. TowerofPower.com. They're also on YouTube as well. 1997, December 6, 1997. Today in boxing history, Atlantic City, a triple header. In the main event, the Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, knocked out Puerto Rican Wilfredo Vera in the eighth round. They retained the WBC 147-pound welterweight title. Keith Mulling stopped Terry Norris in nine rounds to win the WBC junior middleweight title. That was a bit of an upset, but, you know, Terry had that soft chin, except when he fought Ray Leonard, he had a good chin. Anyway, bottom line is in the co-feature as well.
Yuri Boy Campus, stop Raul Marquez. Raul was a good buddy of mine. We did some broadcasts together. Of course, Yuri Boy Campus, a kid from Tijuana, Mexico. They kept fighting and fighting. I mean, he's still fighting today. He's like 55 years old. Like he said, 100 fights. He's still fighting. I was trying to dissuade him from fighting 15 years ago, and he kept going and going and going. But the bottom line is he stopped Raul Marquez on this day in 1997. Of course, our house historian is Mr. Bill O'Neill, who celebrated 6 years of sobriety yesterday. So congratulations to Bill. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Big Baby Miller, of course, the heavyweight from the East Coast, was suspended for 2 years. Why? For Flintstone Vitamin. Oh, do I feel sorry for him? No. He's a cheat. There's just no doubt about it. Anybody that cheats and wants to use testosterone replacements or anything like that, I'm not down with. In fact, you know, I think he should be banned from combat sports the first time around because, you know, we're not hitting baseballs out of parks. We're not hitting golf balls. We're hitting people. Think about that. An added advantage in recovering and hitting people? That's not cool. It's like maybe mayhem or murder. Think about that if something happens. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 37 plus years now. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, of course, often imitated but never duplicated. We come to you live Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. And, of course, you can check out our podcast at anchor.fm or anywhere you get your podcast. Check us out, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The executive producer, the one, the only, the incomparable, Scott Cuddy. Until next week. Don't forget, there's a million things you can be doing right now, but the bottom line is you are listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. So my name is Pedro Fernandez, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, and you know it.